from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks at the State Capitol in Pierre. Today we have updates from South Dakota's 101st legislative session. It's crossover day here at the Capitol, the day bills must cross over from one chamber to another to stay alive. First, we'll hear how, while things remained relatively mellow in the House, the Senate side came with a halt. Protections for living organ donors, property tax bills struck down and advanced, and even more. It's Tuesday, February 24th. Here are today's stories. Functions of the South Dakota Senate froze Tuesday as factions vying for control of the Capitol made crossover day a rocky affair. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
It was the absence of one, Piedmont Republican Senator John Carley, which brought the wheels of government to a grinding halt Tuesday, necessitating a call of the House. It's the second time in 2 days the rarely used process was pulled from the Senate handbook after Del Rapids Republican Senator Tom Pischke was unable to be located for a key vote Monday. The motion mandates every able-bodied member of the chamber be in the room for a vote. Lawmakers may sometimes step out prior to votes to avoid potential repercussions from casting an official floor vote. The vote was on SB 239, a bill from Senator Casey Crabtree incentivizing the development of data centers in South Dakota. It was killed by a single vote Monday, but Crabtree motioned to reconsider. Previously, Carley voted against the bill. As the day's business screeched to a halt, members of the Senate, lobbyists in the hallway, press, and even interns looked on in bewilderment at the political gamesmanship on display. After the process locked senators in the room, Lieutenant Governor Tony Van Huysen read the report of the sergeant-at-arms tasked with locating Carley.
Several members of the Senate have tried to call him, and he is not answering the phone. The governor tried to call him, and he did not answer the phone. The security cameras have been reviewed. He was seen leaving the Appropriations Committee at 11:03 a.m., and then was in the back of the Senate at 11:37 a.m. They have searched all the offices in the building and have not found him. The Highway Patrol has searched the parking lot for his car, and it is not here.
Shortly after, business resumed. Opposition promptly voted to end the search and return to business, thus killing Crabtree's bill. However, senators like Michael Roll disagreed with this decision.
We all know what today is. We all know the importance. We're all elected to be in our seats making these votes.
It's unclear if Senate leadership will punish Carley for abandoning his seat on one of the most consequential days of the legislative schedule. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
The state House of Representatives rejects a bill that would have raised the state sales tax to provide property tax relief to homeowners. The increase also covered wages to state employees, healthcare providers, and K-12 education. House Bill 1308 increased the state sales tax to 5% incrementally over the next 2 years. Lawmakers killed the bill 47-24. Opponents argue the tax increase doesn't create an equitable solution for taxpayers. Some worried about the effects on agriculture as well. Representative Tim Sizmowski is the bill's prime sponsor. He says with his bill dead, he worries legislators could come home empty-handed.
My biggest worry today is that we now just, we just voted this down. I'm not so sure if, you know, at this point in time in the session, if we have an alternative that's going to go give those folks property tax relief. And that's what I came here to do. Time's getting limited. So I really hope that we can address that issue.
He says despite the red vote, he's hopeful the legislature can still provide property tax relief to homeowners. Organ donors are one step closer to insurance protections under South Dakota law. A Senate committee is advancing a bill prohibiting insurers from declining or limiting life, disability, or long-term care insurance policies based solely on living organ donor status. A living organ donor is a person who's donated part or all of an organ. Proponents argue House Bill 1107 is a way to protect organ donors who could save another person's life. The bill is a bipartisan effort. Democrat Representative Nicole Uribalk and Republican Senator Sidney Davis are prime sponsors. One of the proponents is Marsha Holtman. While she's the state's Secretary of the Department of Labor and Regulation, she's encouraging lawmakers to support the bill not in that capacity, but on her own behalf. Or, more accurately, her organ's behalf.
So, this is going to sound silly, but I named my organ, or my kidney, Miss Bean.
Holtman is a living organ donor who gave Miss Bean to a South Dakotan in need 16 months ago. She testified to the committee she doesn't know who Miss Bean went to, but she's passionate about the issue, knowing it can save lives. She tells SDPB she thinks the bill at hand could remove barriers and in turn push some closer to donating their organs.
Oh, I think it might be that one thing that makes a difference for somebody to take that final step. There's so many things that you consider and so many things that you worry about, and this will be one less worry. So anything that takes a worry off the table is a positive step forward.
Holtman says she decided to go with the local Avera Service Area Registry as opposed to the National Registry to donate, noting she's a fourth-generation South Dakotan. But it opened her eyes.
I was shocked. I was going to be surprised if there was one person that I matched with, and I matched with 43. So that just confirmed that there was so much need right here at home, right here in our state. It was a no-brainer. If I could help somebody in South Dakota, then that's what I wanted to do.
Holtman says insurance loss shouldn't be something organ donors have to worry about. HB 1107 passes unanimously out of the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. A bill that provides targeted property tax relief via votes on the imposition of a county sales tax has cleared the Senate. It's a major step for the proposal backed by the governor. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
Governor Larry Roden, watching from the gallery, remained stoic as his bill cleared the first of two legislative chambers. With such deep divides in the state house over the property tax battle, there is no clear path forward for any proposal, least of all the governor's in an election year. However, T Republican Senator Ernie Otten says this bill would take the first proper steps.
There's a place where the people of the county can say yes or no. That's good legislation. The next thing that's going to end up happening is our Department of Revenue is going to be taking these funds, and at the end of the year, they're going to be sending it back to the county and telling the county exactly how much we've raised. That is then divided out, the houses, the owner-occupied in the county. Fair enough system.
Otten says lawmakers need to consider the viability of competing property tax relief packages.
And I'll also tell you a little secret because nobody's listening right now. The governor will sign this. Think about that one.
The plan saw heated debate on the Senate floor, but ultimately won over a few key legislators in a sharply divided body. Taffy Howard is a Rapid City Republican senator. She has served as an appropriator and has long held a streak of fiscal prudence in opposition to tax shifts. However, being from Pennington County, among the hardest hit by this issue, Howard rose in support of the bill. That support came couched in a broader sentiment, though. This policy does not address systemic failings that caused this situation in the first place.
Or rather, in some sense, taking more from the very people who need relief. Now, I am supporting this, though, because at least in my county, part of the relief will come from the tourists. They will be paying for part of this. But I want this body to realize the system itself is broken.
The bill passed the Senate on a 20-14 vote. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
A Senate committee advances legislation opening up provisions for land that's been donated. House Bill 1107 allows land to be retained if it's used in a similar manner to the original intent. Currently, land granted is required to be sold if it's impossible or impractical to hold the lands originally agreed upon. Proponents say a land may not be able to support its original intent if the area experiences growth decades after the initial gift. State law only allows such land to be sold. HB 1107 looks to allow the land to be used if a court allows amended conditions to the use. It would need to stay close to the original intent the original landowner asked for. Eric Bogue is the deputy state's attorney for Minnehaha County. Bogue's comments are on his own behalf. He breaks down when changes on a land donation could be needed, giving an example of land donated to a school.
So because it's just too small or it's too long and narrow or whatever the case might be, it might have been useful at the time 80 to 100 years ago. But now because the city has grown or standards for a school have changed, it can't be used for that school purpose any longer. And so if it's required to be used for a school building, which might be a condition on a gift, now it can't be accomplished that way. But it could be used for a school park or it could be used for some other school administration building. So school related, but just not for a school itself.
HB 1107 passes through the Senate Judiciary Committee 6-1. It heads to the Senate floor.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Officials say the state's first safe haven baby box is now installed. It's located at Rapid City's Fire Station No. 1 on Main Street. The goal of these baby boxes is to prevent infant abandonment and to raise awareness about the issue. An individual can anonymously leave an infant in the box. The box is climate controlled and is monitored 24/7 to alert emergency responders. The Safe Haven Baby Box program was made possible by legislation passed in the 2025 session. It was spurred after an infant was found dead at a Sioux Falls recycling center in 2024. Adverse childhood experiences can have lifetime impacts, including financial health. A 2025 study from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College investigated the connection between childhood trauma and retirement wealth. Rick Kaler is a Rapid City wealth advisor and financial therapist. He spoke with SDPB's Lori Walsh about the research.
So in the research that you just referred to, they use something called the ACE, and it's a test to determine if you had childhood trauma. And what they did was find that anybody that scored positive on childhood trauma, that their net worth as an adult was 25 to 45% less. Now that means for every $1 million you could potentially accumulate, you would accumulate $250,000 to $450,000 less. Now, I intuitively knew that trauma is costly. I didn't have this type of research and dollars to ascribe to it. And that's huge.
Right.
That is huge. When I see these behaviors in others, these, I will call them illogical behaviors around money, or I see illogical behaviors in myself. Mm-hmm. That's a trailhead. That's the beginning of a path we could go down to perhaps discover something. That could be a sign of childhood trauma. Isn't necessarily, but here's what we know. Every illogical behavior we have around money, regardless of what we think about it or someone else thinks about it, regardless how illogical it seems, makes perfect sense. Every illogical behavior makes perfect sense when we understand the underlying belief system. Right. And we could add any underlying trauma.
Yeah.
You connect those dots and you're like, yeah, no wonder. No wonder you got to spend everything that comes into your checking account. No wonder you feel so much anxiety. And just fill in the blank.
Yeah. The good news is this is unaddressed childhood trauma. These adverse childhood experiences that are unhealed create this kind of financial impact, and therefore investment in the therapy or the work or the healing of these traumas, especially when it intersects with money, can have an outsized influence then on bringing you back to a healthier financial place. So it can be a good thing if you can harness and make an investment toward your future.
Yes, they're all fixable. They're all healable. Mm. Now that may not be overnight, and that may not be with a bill, but they are when a person has the courage to go within and hear the stories and find out what's going on. And I really want to underscore that it takes a ton of courage to do this inner work, to go to those places, because there's a good reason. There's coping parts of us that have walled those parts off because they are painful. Mm-hmm. And to open that door and go back into it takes a lot of courage. But the reward is phenomenal. It's calm, serenity, confidence, you know. There's a huge reward there.
Rick Kaler is founder of Kaler Financial in Rapid City. Find the full conversation online at sdpb.org/inthemoment. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.